Well, welcome to another sermon podcast from St. Susie Baptist Church. Today's message comes from 1 Corinthians 12 and is titled Created to Serve and is the first in a four-week series titled Created for More. Today's message is delivered by Pastor Dan Walls and includes interviews with Richard Agius from YWAM and also Stu Brianscombe from Power to Change Ministries. Unfortunately, there are a few issues with the audio on the day, so the audio you're about to hear is from our live stream, and we apologise for the quality of that audio. We do hope this message is a blessing to you. The reading comes from 1 Corinthians 12, 1 to 12. We will take it up from verse 27, which says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles. Also those who have gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But I tell you, eagerly desire the greater gifts."
Welcome to you if you're visiting with us here today. Today, we're going to think a bit differently, a bit of a team teaching approach. As Peter said, we've got Stu here from Power to Change, an organisation that works in universities and also schools. And Stu came to me last year and was keen to profile the ministry and what he does. And I was more than happy to have him along. We studied together at Bible College, so I was going to catch up with him and hear about what God's doing in Stu's life. And when I heard Richard was coming today, I thought it'd be great to hear from them, hear their stories as well. So we'll hear from them in just a moment. But today we started and set a new series called Created for More. And today we're looking at the topic Created to Serve. Let me pray for us as we come now to this time in our service. Well, Heavenly Father, as we do come to you now, we acknowledge your presence. Always with us. You're always desiring to speak to us. You're always desiring for us to push into what you have for us. So, Lord, as we come now to understand more of who you are and what you ultimately call us to be and do, we pray, Lord God, that you would speak through the words today that I prepare, but also speak through both Stuart and Richard as they come to share more about their ministry and also how you have called them to serve in their unique context. So, Lord, my prayer today that you would do a mighty work in our church community, that you would not only speak to one or two of us, but every single one of us. Help us understand more of how we have been created by you to live and function in this world as your church. So, Lord, as we come now to this time in our service, may you bless us and lead us by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we reflect on this series Created for More, we're going to be understanding more about, as I said, how we are created to live and function as Christ's church. So, when we think about the word church, what comes to mind for you when you hear the word church? What pops into your mind, or what do you understand the church to be about? Alan?
Group of people who have the same intellectual
beliefs. Anyone else? Someone else have their hand up? You ready?
Yeah.
A gathering? Absolutely. Yeah.
Group of people who share their beliefs.
Amen. Yes. Group of people that share their belief. Glory? Fellowship. Anyone else? Alright. So there's some ideas about what church means to you. Evidently, church is more than just rocking up on Sunday, amen? Much more than that. And that's the idea of this series, to help us understand it's more than just attending a gathering on a Sunday morning, having morning tea together, then going into our weeks. The church is broader than that. We were created for more. Amen. I'm sure we all agree with that. So it's interesting to note that the word church actually derives from an ancient Greek word called ecclesia. And if you go to the next slide there for us, Wally, you can set it on the screen now, ecclesia. And as you've already said, the word church refers to the gathered assembly. That's the original word ecclesia that we get this word church from. And it's a gathered assembly. Ultimately, it's a people. It's not a building, it's not an institution or an entity. The church is a people, a gathering of people, the local church. And we are part of the more universal church, the broader church across the world. So Ecclesia, the gathered assembly, the church is a people. And what I've found that as we've gone through COVID and also throughout the West End before COVID, I feel that we have reduced in the West the church, the understanding of church, we've reduced it again to just rocking up on a Sunday. In some people's mind, that's what church is all about. You may have fallen into that trap of thinking of church, yes, I go to church, I am part of the church, and it's limited to that. But the church, in God's eyes, the way we want to function and live is much, much broader than that. And so again, over the coming weeks, we're going to be exploring how God has wired us, how He has created us, when we accept Him into our life, He actually calls us to something, doesn't He? He calls us to a way of life as disciples of Him. And so we're going to be looking at four key ways in which we were created. Again, let me run through those very quickly with you over here. Today we're looking at creative to serve. Next week, Cheryl's going to speak about creative to give. But not what, we're not just talking about tithing and offering, although that's a part of it. It's living lives ultimately generosity or service. But today and next week, sort of tie into one another. We're created to serve, we're also created to give of our life as Christ did. We model His example. Following week, 9th of October, I'm going to speak on creative for community. Because we have been created as a church for community. We can't do life on our own, amen? And our men spoke about that yesterday at our men's breakfast. We are wired to do life together as one body, as we spoke about earlier. So, created for community, we're actually going to launch our new small group ministry, which is going to be called Life Groups, on that week as well. So, we encourage you to maybe think about joining the Life Group. 16th of October, we're going to be talking about creating for community. And we're actually going to dive into the key role of the Holy Spirit and understanding how we can enjoy a relationship with God as a result of the Holy Spirit living in our lives. So that's what we're going to be working through. But today, created to serve. As we've been looking at with our kids, you and I, as the body of Christ, have been created to serve. Not just one another, but ultimately Christ's kingdom in this world. And for me, I believe that we can only truly serve Christ and His kingdom when we have a bigger understanding, a big picture understanding of our faith and also who Jesus Christ is. But I believe when we come to that broader, bigger picture and not a narrow focus on the church and understanding what the church is truly all about, that is when we put our hands up and say, yeah, I want to serve. Whatever I have to give, I want to serve God in this community and this society, this community, and around the world. So we need a bigger picture of faith to be able to serve Christ, I believe. But as we spoke about with our kids, the reality is that each and every one of us have been wired and equipped with specific and particular abilities, innate abilities that we are ultimately born with, that God ultimately desires us to use for His glory. The other side of that is when you accept Christ into your life, this is a key function of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit lives, when the Holy Spirit comes to live within us, God in us, it's incredible to fathom. We are actually blessed with spiritual gifts that He provides us with, unique spiritual gifts. But each and every one of us is given, again, to serve Him and the local church, the body of one another. So that's what we're going to be diving into here today, to understand that we have been wired to serve, created to serve. And again, I thought as I reflected on this during the week, it'd be great to have Stu here and Richard come and share a little bit about that in just a moment. We've heard one passage that speaks of this reality for us. I want to touch on a couple more very briefly for us. The first one of those is Romans 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 onwards also speaks about this reality. Now, you have to bear with me, that translation is different to what I have here. But this is what it says. God has given me grace to speak a warning about pride. I would ask each of you to be empty of self-promotion and not create a false image of your importance. Instead, honestly assess your worth by using your God-given faith as a standard of measurement, and then you will see your true value with an appropriate self-esteem. In the human body, there are many parts and organs, each with unique function, and so it is important. So it is in the body of Christ. Although we are many, we are all mingled into one body in Christ. This means that we are all vitally joined to one another, with each contributing to the other. Again, that body imagery, that body motif. God's marvelous grace imparts to each one of us varying gifts and ministries that are uniquely yours. So if God has given you the gifts of grace gift or prophecy, you must activate your gift by using the proportion of faith you have to prophesy. If your grace gift is serving, then thrive in serving others well. If you have the gift of teaching, then be actively teaching and training others. If you have the grace gift of encouragement, then use it often to encourage others. If you have the grace gift of giving to meet the needs of others, then may you prosper in your generosity without any fanfare. If you have the gift of leadership, be passionate about your leadership. And if you have the gift of showing compassion, then flourish in your cheerful display of compassion. Again, we need gifts. There are so many that Scripture speaks about. And there's an inventory up there, an assessment up there, because some of us might think, well, man, I don't know my spiritual gifts. I have no idea what you're talking about. There's an assessment up there that you can take home and prayerfully consider as you work through those questions. The idea behind that is that God may reveal to you those spiritual gifts that He has blessed you with to be able to serve His church and further His kingdom. So that's up the back as well. And finally, 1 Peter 4, 10-11 says, every believer has received grace gifts. So use them to serve one another as faithful stewards of the many-coloured tapestry of God's grace. For example, if you have a speaking gift, speak as though God was speaking His words through you. If you have a gift of giving, do it passionately with the strength God gives you, so that in everything God alone will be glorified through Jesus Christ, for Him belongs the power and glory forever and ever. Amen. So as we can see from those passages, it's not about furthering our kingdoms in our world and our lives, ultimately, Christ's kingdom, His name, making His name known. That's what we are ultimately invited to do. And so again, I thought it would be great to watch Stu and Richard up to share and explore this topic with us. So I'm going to invite Stu and Richard to the front. So if you want to welcome them to the front, that would be great. We'll talk about it a little bit more. Thanks guys for joining us. It's great to have you here and Stu again from Power to Change. Appreciate you coming to share about the ministry and sharing your story. And I'm familiar with Richard, spoke to him with you guys last week and hearing a bit more about what he's doing with your ministry over in your afternoon tea. We might start with Stu, so people aren't so familiar with you. Can you share a bit about what you do, your role with Power to Change, and again a bit about who you are?
I'll just start by saying that people might know Power to Change by its previous names. It used to be known as Kemp's Crusade for Christ, Australia. If you don't know that name, some people are quite familiar with the previous name of our Kemp's Ministry, Student Life. But since 2016, we became Power to Change. I've served with them for, I think it's 14 years now. I'll tell a bit more about my story about entering into serving. Power to Change has this vision for people in Australia to really have the opportunity to encounter Jesus and through that impact the rest of our nation. With the vision that we can reach the world, reach the whole globe. And the focus really is to help people through their whole process of discipleship. They have that opportunity, first of all, to make a decision to follow Jesus, but that it doesn't mean that they will know how to grow and ultimately see that through being called into Christ's family, they're also part of his mission to see this kingdom reach the
world. I think it's a key part of understanding this as well is that we are partners with Christ, aren't we? We're all missionaries, not just these guys. Raising support as missionaries, but we are all missionaries in different ways. But yeah, going back to what we spoke about in the work we brought up, if we can go back in your life a little bit and then get the context. Around 15 years of age, we spoke about discovering your spiritual gifts or God calling you to serve Him. Can you share a bit about the circumstances that led to you understanding that you were called and created to serve God and what that was like?
Does anyone here remember Black Stump Festival? So I was 15, it was my first time at Blackstone, and I have no memory of what the preacher spoke about, but I know that that night I came away with this really deep sense that Jesus accepted me as I was. I didn't need to even do anything to earn his grace. I just needed to accept it. I didn't need to be this kind of person that all my friends might have expected me to be. Jesus just loved me and accepted me. And, you know, I'd known him my whole life growing up, but that moment really changed something in me. And I could really see the change after that. Like, the months that followed, I just stopped caring as much what people thought about me. And when I started year 11, I just overwhelmed by God's love. I remember going on holiday, going down to the beach early in the morning, watching the sunrise, and just saying, God, you know, whatever you want, I'll do that. And that's really where it started. I admit it was awkward. I wanted to share my faith with my friends. I had no idea what I was doing.
And more broadly, I guess, specifically, how did you discover the spiritual gifts? What does that look like for you to actually tap into? So, hey, I'm actually quite good at this. And, God's wired me this way to serve this capacity. So, what was that experience like? And how did that, obviously, spoke about the importance of mentors and then walking alongside of us. So, what does that look like?
Yeah, I think that's a great question because I'd say the discovery is quite slow. I think. As a teenager, I really didn't like who I was, so I had to come to a place of realizing that God liked me, and that I did have things to offer. In terms of like spiritual gifts, certainly doing those like surveys were really helpful. In some ways, they just like I've done a few of them over the years. Often they don't reveal anything new, but actually affirm things that I already knew about myself, but just brought clarity. And I've really valued those things. That's definitely me, and now I can choose to serve those strengths. But I'm also aware that broader than that, God makes us with our personalities. He gives us experiences in life, whether good or bad. But he can take all of that and use it. Me, certainly, I'm more inclined to be a quieter, introverted person than I used to be. Well, I served for 10 plus years as a school chaplain. I see other chaplains who have that personality that drew people to. I didn't have that. And it took me a while to realize that actually my quiet nature meant that I could reach a whole kids that felt the outside of the community, and they were the ones who would want to be so paid attention to them, and I understood what it was like.
Yeah, it's important to realize too that, again, we may not feel like the most, we spoke about this, like being charismatic or best leader, but God still has a purpose for each and every one of us, and He actually uses it, as we're going to talk tonight, the unlikely people. If you look at the Bible, you know, there's so many people in the Bible that are the unlikely ones. Abraham was the one. Nobody until God made him a son, what he wants to listen to that promise. I think that's really important to realize the Bible as well. But from there, obviously, you've taken a step into ministry or mission field. Basically, raise your own funds. So that's definitely a missionary's calling on there. But all the circumstances that led you to serve with Baptist Crusade on the Down Change. And what's your role with this?
Yeah, so as a 17-year-old high school, there was a youth worker there who was part of Heart of Change, and just through talking to him, one day he came to me and said, "Would you like to work?" And that question is lined up with where I felt God was leading me. I wanted to be working with youth, and it's just an instant yes. So I joined as a volunteer the first year and got in love with the role of school chaplain and then an internship and then just stayed on. And I think think my total number of years is 13 years at school. A little bit odd at times because I've been a student there, but at the end of last year, I made a decision to leave, and the opportunity also came for me to take on the team leader role. So it's working with a group of school captains and SRE teachers. And I just love that, you know, we're just looking for opportunities to be in schools, because that's where teenagers are. And yeah, it can be a tricky environment to be Christian in, but there is, God is working there. And I want to help my team and people beyond that in the same speed to really find those opportunities to share it. We also invited the students to be the leaders of the lunch group. And so we're looking for, I guess, that pathway where they can meet Jesus, grow in Jesus, and then also serve him. It's really exciting when you see a young person get they don't need to bring their friends to church to learn to Jesus, but through them, I prayed that I would have an opportunity to speak with my friend and, you know, in the middle of math class when we're supposed to be working, we were having a conversation about our things.
Hey, no, Richard, just time for the last question, please, too, sorry. In terms of just obviously churches can partner with how they change yourself and your ministry, but also individuals may feel like they want to get behind school ministry in a more practical way. So, how can a church like ourselves or
certainly, people are interested in hearing what I'm doing and what my team's doing. Speak to me and tell you more about that. Prayer letter, but my heart is really to find other people who share that same desire for youth to know Jesus and join in God's mission. And so, if there's anyone here who's a teacher or connected to a school in some way and has a desire to chat with them, that people need to join Power to Change to do this. There's people going, I have that desire, but I don't have schools that I'm connected to, and then perhaps Power to Change might be able to be doing it to someone.
You, Rich, obviously, we're familiar with your ministry, or that for quite some time. See, I'm going to say the fifth product of what you do now, but there's obviously there's a path of discovery that we all go on to discover, again, how God's wired us. And you're in a unique position, Bill, surfing and trying to reach people with surfing. But how did you come to discover God and why you for that. What it looks like to discover your spiritual gifts if you can go into that anymore. And what was that process, I guess, from a teenager as well as the early 20s, got on that journey? What did you play for?
It was a lot of trauma. Discovering that, I think for me, it probably sort of clicked around 20s, in my mid-20s. When I went into the discipleship training school. And I liked students. But Stu, it was in that place that I started to a lot of that has to do with the world scripting, what they say is valuable to people, different shapes of people, personality types of systems. And I think a lot of it also has to do with just some personal flaws in yourself, whether it's one of some areas of weakness in the problems. Probably stupid hard in yourself. So I was not coming to that place, realizing my mind and planning for my life. And you begin to look at guys like, Jeremiah, or what God says about him. You begin to read about these stories, the biblical figures who God had shaped and designed for a specific purpose. The purpose is different to gifts, to sort of shape. This is more to do with legacy. In that place, I began to not just realize that it's accepted by God and loved by God, but deeply, also began to realize that he had something that he wanted to accomplish. Probably some of the keys would be just personal walk with God. It's just very significant. It just continues to really emphasize that love that God has. And then a place to practice those gifts, which was at that time was the Wiley community. That sort of ideas of it's just a very gracious place, a merciful place to be able to just, I mean, in Australia, we have this great saying, hang up. And you could do that there. I think the greatest fear in practicing gifts is the fear of judgment. If you get it wrong, that place just, there was just a lot of opportunity. And using the love, not just my brother, but even if you did get it wrong, which I think is really important. Yeah, you're not sure, you make a mistake, you don't want to go back to living that experience, so you might have the idea that you're sort of being cautious. But that would be very providing, But it was a great learning experience. You learn a lot of mistakes, successes on the
side. I find that's true in terms of the church context. I don't want to serve there or make people comfortable serving there, but I don't want to suffer. I don't want to make it today. It's important to be able to create a culture and an environment where you're free to
It's okay. When people mess it up, it's okay, right? You see it on the footy field all the time. Someone drops it, like this sort of game, they drop the ball or sort of don't perform to their best, and it makes them off time. It's all right, leave that behind you, let's push on to the next part of the game, let's pick it back up. I think that when you see that, I think it's important in the church context as well. Even if I do mess it up, it's the same as with God, then I'm still going to be loved. I'm not going to change my relational status with people that I'm loved. They love me, I love them. That's about the
approach. 100%. A big part of your ministry as a student is the mental side of things, helping people reach their potential. Again, understanding they are created for more. In your opinion, in terms of your ministry experience, how important is it to help someone as a disciple of Jesus, or anyone, discover how they have been uniquely made, and obviously push into those gifted abilities? I find that some people can go to life, I'm not comfortable where I am, and then discover more about myself. I love Jesus, I love the church, and things like that. But how important is it to discover how God is uniquely created us, and then encourage them to push into realizing those gifts?
I think it's important. It's very important. It depends on the season of life. I think the best advice I was given that when you're in your 20s, you kind of don't know much about who you are. You're sort of trying to work it out. And it's good to do the survey stuff, like the sort of the verbs. You can often affirm that sort of comment. But when you're in your 20s, especially, just sort of learning about yourself and the world and place what your purpose might be. Have a go at everything and some things will resonate with you, resonate with that design that comes with you. Then other things might be one of the period of 20s, it's just a period of you just have a go at a lot of things and just begin to shape sort of 30s and 40s. So it's really important to do that because I think why it's important is to say you get a sense that you're here for more than what the world says you should be here for. You get a sense of working with your Creator in being able to extend His kingdom, fulfill that purpose, serve the purposes, the opportunities that He puts in front of you, but also things that resonate with the disciples. So for the sense of that personal connection with God, and also for the sense of kingdom significance, not worldly significance, the kingdom significance and your place in the kingdom is really important. We all have a need for your significance. So the discovery of that design just helps serve a sense of where we are significance. There's a lot of people get significance from a lot of other places. That are okay, but there's a deeper significance. Some of those other significances as well, are typical anomalies. You just put it in one
place. And just lastly for you guys, that maybe speak more specifically to people here that may be stirred to put their hand up and say, yeah, I want to serve somewhere, I want to serve in this church, and I'm not quite sure what that looks like, or what the spiritual gifts are. What would you say to that person? I guess both of you, maybe wrestling with that, or wondering where to serve, or if they should serve, or get involved in this church, or more broadly in their workplaces, or wherever God may be.
I think I'd say if you're not sure what your strengths are, certainly do the survey to see what comes from that. But also, I think it's very true that we do struggle to have a good perspective of ourselves. So talk to trusted people around you and just see what they say and pray together and see what God speaks. But also, just give something a go. If there's something you go, I might try that. Shot. If it doesn't work, that's okay. At least you know.
I talked about it. You might have a bit of an idea where some things are working for you. If you're in a job and you're kind of going, this just doesn't. Sometimes it comes up. I know some of the things are working, some people again, you know. Obviously, there's something that's going on there, something isn't happening with their design. They're going to look for other work, but for them, you know, the issue is, you know what I mean? So, at our age, we kind of have a little bit of an idea what, you know. But I like Isaiah's attitude. When he's confronted with his attitude, again, it comes back to this personal relationship with God. He sees, you know, this scenario, you know, even his response is humanized. So I think it's really important as an exercise of your trust and faith in God and in who he is, but also in his love for you, to be able to say, you know, I trust you. What is it that you want me to do? Where is it that you want to lead? And then, on the basis of that conversation, just keep your eyes and your ears and your hands ready. Because Jesus says very profoundly that, you know, seek and you'll find, ask and give you what you want. But as you, and this is very definitive language that he uses, it's very black and white. But as you pray, the prayer is a holistic conversation. It's not just about what you're saying. This is Jesus said, you know, not just ask, but see, look for where the answer to prayer is. And then you're using your hands, you're knocking on doors, seeing what doors open. And and so, in the context of prayer and in your time with God, you're exploring the opportunities that God brings your way. And what I tell people when they're in a place of transition, they're moving towards something, is to expose yourself as much to the opportunity as possible to see if this is where God wants you to be without making a firm commitment. So over the year, as an example, in the year 2004, I had a magazine article, a magazine that God had spoken to me through, and I won't go into the detail of that, but I gave the year to just exploring opportunities. And a lot of those opportunities related back to that magazine that God sort of pointed some things out to me. And I immersed myself in the opportunities in Mexico, I immersed myself in the opportunities in Hawaii and all these other places without making a firm commitment to it. After those opportunities, I would just dialogue and process with trusted people, as Stu said, but also with God about where is the land, not in the land. And I mean, 2004 for me was a bigger transition. You find that when you have a sense of what's your vision statement for your life and what is it you value, that those decisions come a bit more quickly. And then there's a school in 2002 that talked about developing a life vision statement for yourself, and also on the basis of what you value, what your five core values are. And then from that place, you're able to really kind of quickly navigate, okay, this is an opportunity. It's in who I am and what I want to be in terms of my life, vision statement, and what I value. So over time that sort of becomes easier. But I guess to bring that all back around, sorry. You walk with God by making yourself available as desired if you did, but then at the same time, be ready for those what God's going to bring you away in terms of seeking. And what that scripture doesn't talk about is the timing with which God brings the answer, and oftentimes the answer doesn't fit our expectations. So being prepared for something that might be different, just allowing God to do something to shape you and also introduce you to something new, it's very creative. It's very creative. So being prepared for something that's a bit unexpected is cool. And that just sort of just moves into your idea of who God is. That does start and surprises you with a nice little part of that.
I can just add that you might come to some clarity around what you do, so you might already know it. Sometimes we go, okay, how do I serve the church? And in doing so, we accept how do I serve this community? Rather than going, serving the church, how did that serving become outward? Where are the places that that God already has? He's already got you in a family, he's already got you in workplaces, he's got you in other communities, sports teams, etc. And to ask him, how am I to serve him in that space, how these gifts to be used to
to broaden this, to reach these people, and start praying to them. I asked all these question marks because I was reading the scriptures, and what I noticed about Jesus was that he's always been pursued. People are always pursuing him. I'm saying that, if your spirit lives in me, why do I not see the same sort of thing happening in my life? And God took me on a little bit of a journey. There were three specific instances that happened, but to come to the conclusion, the obstacle for me seeing what I realized was that the mission field was already there, and that the barrier to me seeing that was the fact that I know myself really busy with a lot of things. But then secondly, a lot of the people that were in my sphere of influence or in my relational networks were quite burdensome people. I found them hard to be around, because they were actually really needy. And it put a challenge to me, because I began to realize, okay, these are the people that I'm actually crying out. They were pursuing me, but I was too busy to actually see it because I was too inconvenienced by a lot of their requests and things that they were doing. And, the way they lived their life and whatnot. And I had to really just readjust who I was developing relationships with and the way that I developed those relationships. And as I began to journey with the people with God, I began to realize that Jesus had really good boundaries. There were certain people he invited to follow him, certain people he didn't. He was good with his time with God. He would retreat, he would get time, he would energize. So he would do Sabbath really well. And so what I learned to do with some of these people, because some of them struggle with significant addiction issues, or they're just awkward. One guy, he didn't spend time in jail. But I realized that these are the people that should cry out, for God. And I learned to just do little practical things. I'd go out for lunch, I'd drive my own car, they would pick me up. I'd say that I'd have an hour and a half with them, and I'd just put boundaries on things. And what I did by doing that was that I gave 110% when I was in that time with them. And if they rang me on the spur of the moment, I'd just give them a few minutes and just say, hey, can we meet sometime later? I can give you better time. And I would just do my best for them in that moment of time, for those times, and I would just invest in them. But just going on, she said, the mission field is there. But the biggest barrier in seeing is actually my eyes and how I just structured my life. But it is really rich because God loves people. He wants to bring them to us. I just need to be able to listen to do this. I just need people to focus on and structure my life in a way that I could do well for them in that moment. Because there were heaps of moments where I wasn't ready for that or not in a good place. Just like that. Rather than just I'll pick up the phone or sort of rushing, I'll just do my best for a few minutes and just read.
Now I'll start there, guys. I guess as you speak again, it sort of helps me realize that there is a bigger picture, right? And there's more going on that we don't realize that God's doing in this world, in our lives. And again, always a reminder of this important quote that says, desire to inspire before you inspire. I always sort of live my life, try to live my life by inspiring people to follow Jesus, to experience Jesus, and thoughts that we can be. I think it's important to realise. I really appreciate your thoughts, God, Stu coming along and sharing about the organisation. Stu will be obviously hanging around, but also back tonight to share a little bit more as well. But I think that as we leave this space now, I think it's important to remember the idea of that image of the body. I'm always reminded of the significance of the body in terms of as we get older, we start to feel ailments and this sort of thing. But interesting to know that when we have a sore neck, it actually impacts our shoulder. That's sort of, we have a bad back that affects our hamstrings and our knees. The one aspect of the body is out of alignment, the rest of it is going to be out of alignment too. So this comes back to the importance of us discovering what God has called us to be. And it can be overwhelming, but sort of one step at a time, all of us discovering what God has called us to do, what is wise for us, so that we can serve one another and the modern church, if we are going to continue to follow Jesus wholeheartedly, flourish in faith, and ultimately bear fruit in our lives and in the church as well. So it's an important imagery to take note of. Again, at the back, there's those assessments. There's also lists of roles and, I guess, opportunities to serve in our wider church. And part of the thing might be for you, I don't really know where I can fit in or where I can serve, but there's a whole list up there. You can take an A4 bit of paper with you, stuff in the back too, of ways that you can serve in this church. And we don't want to limit it to that. Obviously, if God calls you to something else, come and speak to me, come and speak to your leadership. We'd love to explore and investigate what that could look like. But at the very least, there's a whole list of opportunities out there, so you can't come and say, yeah, there's not much to serve, there's not much going on. Well, this is a whole lot of what I'm actually surprised at how much there is, the opportunity there is to serve in our church. So inventory is up there, assessments, that list of responsibilities. If you feel led to serve today as you read through that list, there's a sign up sheet there that you can write down, I want to be involved in this ministry, I want to serve in that ministry. Obviously, don't feel like I can do that today. But over the course of the next few weeks, just briefly consider what that may look like for you. We're going to finish up with a song. Before we do that, Matt is going to come and lead us in a time of prayer. And as she makes her way up, I encourage us to sit in the silence at the moment, maybe reflect on what the Holy Spirit might be saying to you, and maybe let her lead us in a time of prayer and we'll be able to discuss it today. I want to thank Stu and Rich for sharing today. Appreciate that. Just take a moment in the quietness of this moment to spend some time with God, and then make